Well, I'm happy to be here with all of you. I like the first Wednesday. In our devotional book, the staff has a devotional book, and this is by Richard Baxter. His name is on one of these cabins out here. And he says, "He," meaning God, "He calleth for the heart. He looketh for the inward desires of the soul. He calleth for the heart." That's just five little words, but God wants our hearts. He wants our hearts for Himself. And He wants to write that into our minds. And so we just are giving ourselves to Him. And loving Him first. This morning, I was in a meeting back in New York, and there was a brother there who said, "Could we please sing number 41? And so first, he was sitting right up front, so first I said no, just for fun. But then, of course, we sang it, "Wonderful Savior." And then we sang it here this evening. And they were doing quite well this morning before we sang that song with responding to the Lord and praising the Lord. It seemed as though it really came from the heart. And yet at the end of that song, I said, "I've heard Uncle Gordon say a number of times after we've sung this song, is it really true? You just sang, 'My heart is filled with praises, praises to thee.'" And I don't know how I could tell that, being in this meeting. If your heart is filled with praises, then it's going to overflow. And we're going to hear something of the praises of God from you. You have encouraged us that way a number of times. I think those were encouragements. You were trying to bring us into line with what we said and encourage us that it might be really so, that our hearts be filled with that's praises.
That's my calling. I had a dream, and I stood before a vast audience, and I thought maybe that was Ozone Park, but when I went over there, there were only a few people. I mean, not too many. But I said, "I want to encourage you. I feel that God wants me to be an encourager so that we might go forward in Him." Hallelujah.
"My heart is filled with praises to thee." So I was encouraged this morning to praise the Lord more and to just give myself over to Him and to give Him my heart. He's calling for my heart and yours too. And so God wants your heart. And He's come, Jesus came down from heaven. It says in one of the songs, "What condescension, bringing us redemption in the dead of night, not one faint hope in sight, God gracious, tender, laid aside His splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul." He came down to woo and to win my heart for Himself. Jesus seeks that. He seeks our hearts and the love of our hearts for Himself. Today I read something that I thought was really wonderful, stupendously wonderful about Jesus. Here in the beginning of the letter to the Hebrews, Hebrews 1, I read six things about Him that are also very, very great. First, He is the heir of all things. Right at the beginning of Hebrews 1, He is the heir of all things. He is the creator of the world. That's number two. Number three, He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. In Jesus, we have the reflection, the perfect reflection of the nature and character of God. Everything that God wants us to know about himself is revealed to us in Jesus. So that's number three. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And then he upholds the universe. This will be number four. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. We just heard about how he can hold us up. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. Well, why not? If he can uphold the universe by the word of his power, he can hold me, and he can bear my burdens too, as he wants to do. That's number four. And then number five speaks about how he came down to be our Savior. He lived our life and died our death. He became one of us so that he could be the Redeemer of his people. He made purification for sins. That's number five. And then number six, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The sixth thing, he is enthroned at the right hand of power, the conqueror over all of God's enemies. How great Jesus is. Just in those couple verses, what a picture of Jesus. Heir of all things, creator of the world, radiance of the glory of God, exact imprint of his nature, upholding the universe by the word of his power, making purification for sins, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and yet wanting my heart. Isn't that it's really stunning to just think of that. He wants my heart. And I noticed this in my Bible today. I didn't bring it along for this, but I've read it to you before here and at home. Jonathan Edwards. Whatever is done or suffered, yet if the heart is withheld from God, there is nothing really given to him. And so when I think of how great Jesus is and that he cares about me and he wants my heart, I just feel like, help me, Lord, to respond to you and in a worthy way, Lord, in a way that will please you. Help me to respond to you tonight, Lord. I give you my heart afresh tonight. The writer to the Hebrews is saying, look at him. Look at him. Set your gaze upon him, and you will press on and press through all those trials that you're facing. Look at Jesus. And so he calls us to look to him and love him and listen for him and yield to him. And just want to do that. As I read that this morning, it came back to me. Every 2 weeks this summer I've read, he calls for the heart. And each time it's just stirred me. And I want to respond to Jesus. He's so great. He's so glorious. Oh, that the Holy Spirit might just shine so brightly on him and help me to see how great and glorious the Savior is. And then give him my all. God bless you. Tonight we have opportunity to pray together, and pray for one another, and pray for any need that you would like to bring before the throne of grace. Our brother Eddie called our attention to that great high priest that we have. And in the fourth chapter of Hebrews it says this: "Therefore, since we have an high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have an high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And so, as those who belong to him, who have been purchased by his own blood, we have that confidence to draw near to God, to come boldly to that throne of grace. And we want to do that tonight. Before I ask for specific requests, I wanted us to just take the little booklet that I gave you. And there's a song in there. It's near the back, maybe three pages from the back. And it's entitled, "Lord, Give Us Souls." And I don't have the music for it. And I don't know if Brother Eddie knows it, because I don't. But I like the words. And as I was finding these different songs that were written by George Bernard, this was one of them. And let's just read it together, because as we pray tonight, this is one of the prayers that ought to be upon our hearts. And you'll find, a number of prayers here that are given to us. So, how about on this side, if you'll read that first stanza? We'll all read the refrain together, but on this side, the first stanza. "Gathered are we
in the name of our God. Lord, give us souls. Lord, give us souls. Trusting his grace and his wonderful word. Lord, give us souls, we pray."
Together. "Seals to our labor and souls for our hire. This blessed Lord is our one great desire. Souls from whom Jesus his precious life gave. Lord, give us souls, we pray." All right, now those in the middle section here will read that second stanza. "Loved ones are lost and our friends are astray. Lord, give us souls. Lord, give us souls. Help us to win them while yet it is day. Lord, give us souls, we pray." Together. "Seals to our labor and souls for our hire. This blessed Lord is our one great desire. Souls for whom Jesus his precious life gave. Lord, give us souls, we pray." Okay, now this side, third verse. "Come, Holy Ghost.
Come, thy people be sent. Lord, give us souls. Lord, give us souls. Make our hearts holy.
Seals to our labor and souls for our hire. This blessed Lord is our one great desire. Souls for whom Jesus his precious life gave. Lord, give us souls, we pray." Together. "Harvest is passing, yes, soon 'twill be gone. Lord, give us souls. Lord, give us souls. Bring us at last to our heavenly home. Lord, give us souls, we pray."
seals to our labor and souls for our hire. This blessed Lord is our one great desire. Souls for whom Jesus his precious life gave. Lord, give us souls, we pray. And I believe this is at the heart of why we're here at camp. I believe camp primarily exists for the children that God sends here. And that was the light and the passion that began this work, that God would touch the children from New York City. And so we want them to come to know Jesus while they're here at camp. Lord, give us souls. And we're part of that. We pray and we partner with the counselors. And we serve the children. And we pray. And so tonight, as we take time to pray together, let's consider these thoughts. Come, Holy Ghost, on thy people descend. Make our hearts holy, thy kingdom extend. And if there's anyone who'd like to give a prayer request, you can voice it now. We can just go around the room. And if you don't have one that you'd like to voice, that's all right. But if there are specific requests, we'll take them.